He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Friday. It is the Friday, January the 10th edition of the Best Stocks Now show. After a day off in the market yesterday, this is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And we've got a good news and a bad news day. The good news is the jobs market is still strong. It came in very good, those numbers, on this Friday. The Friday jobs report, the monthly Friday jobs report. The bad news is the bond market doesn't like it. Interest rates don't like it. Fear of inflation comes back into the market. And right now you've got the Dow down 579 points to 42,056. The NASDAQ, which was bumping up against 19,000 or 20,000, is down almost 1,000 points from there now at 19,057. Remember, my first article of this year was about that NASDAQ valuation, and rising interest rates certainly don't help that situation at all. The S&P is down 1.6% right now, or 95 points. The Russell 2000 down 1.75%, down 39 points. And it's the bond market, stupid, I guess you could say. The bond market, stupid, not the economy. The economy's good. It's the bond market that is hurting us. The 10-year right now is at 4.74, which is just above that 52-week high of 4.70. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And, of course, that equation for valuation is earnings multiplied by a multiplier, P.E. ratio, equals a target price. Nothing's happened to the earnings at all. They look very rosy for this year. They look very rosy for next year. The problem is the multiplier, the multiple. As interest rates go higher, the multiple gets shrinks a little bit.
And we haven't been this high in the last 12 months. I mean, we're at a point right now on the chart that we haven't seen since level we really haven't seen, I guess, since right about around November of 2023. So
yeah, and I think I read that since the Fed started cutting rates, we're up 100 basis points.
Right. Yeah.
That crazy? In other words, the Fed is wrong in the market's opinion about inflation. The market still fears inflation. And just to add a little bit of fuel on the fire here today, oil's hitting $77.07. I don't know what's up there. I heard about a big port in China that's having some issues, that's causing a little bit of a clog. But that's 4.3% jump in oil, which is also inflationary, obviously. It's at $77.07.
And it's a global jump in yields. I mean, I'm looking at the. I keep lengthening the chart and still haven't gotten there. I mean, you look at the UK's in the news today, and they're sitting at 4.85, and I ran the chart back 10 years, and that's the highest in 10 years. So
wow,
you know, it's not just the US 10-year. It's kind of a global hike around the globe at least at the moment.
Yes, well, volatility has been the name of the game. Really since right around Christmas, and that volatility remains. The oil and gas sector, energy sector, is the number one sector so far in 2025. We ended Thursday, or Wednesday, actually. The markets came back. They were down in the morning. They did come back somewhat. Wednesday was the day the quantum stocks sold off after Jensen Huang's comments. I have an update there on the quantum stocks. And some of those quantum stocks, CEOs are starting to defend the sector. And there was news from two of them today. And also there is huge news on the nuclear front here today. We have a huge winter in Constellation Energy. That's 3 Mile Island, folks. That's, you know, one of the most controversial nuclear incidents. Not quite as bad as Chernobyl, but right up there. And there's really good news. That stock was up 20% the last time I looked at it. So that's helping offset some of the losses. The losses are occurring in big tech, AI, the hottest stocks in the market.
What's unique is that Constellation Energy purchase was a, you know, the acquirer usually goes down. And they went up significantly as the acquirer.
I sent out a message this morning. I believe that Constellation's becoming more of a Vistra model where they become a broker in energy. And that, cause that's what the Calpine was. I remember Calpine from many years ago, during California wildfires of all things. And so that's probably what's driving that. So anyways, I didn't expect a good report like this, but we do have non-farm payrolls jumping by 256,000 in December. To be honest, Trump is inheriting a bit of a mess in 10 days with the bond market being so sour. And interest rates rising so much, that's hurting the stock market. And all of that Trump rally is long gone. I mean, it's been sold off, and now we're back actually probably below where we were, you know, in those 7 days, 6 days after the Trump election. So anyways, I would say that, you know, he is inheriting a bit of a mess. Then you've got California.
Debt ceiling. I mean, debt ceiling coming up, what, on the 16th?
Debt ceiling coming up. Yeah. But interest rates really are the biggest issue, I think, right now, fear of inflation. Okay, I grew up in Southern California. I'm a native. Was there for almost 60 years. Jeff Webster, my vice president, native of Southern California. We've been through this many, many times. I've personally been evacuated, you know, at least a half a dozen times. I remember as a little kid in kindergarten being evacuated and saying, them telling us, have your mothers come get you. The fire is moving down the mountain. This was while we lived in Burbank, and we could see the fire moving closer. And when I got home, my father was up on the roof. He had been sent home from his work. He was watering down the roof, which back then was shake shingles, which didn't take much to ignite those. And we had other many incidents in San Diego, wildfires all the time because, you know, it's a very dry state. You look here in South Carolina and, you know, we have greenery everywhere.
You'd run into the marsh at some point.
Right? In California, it's very brown in the summer and in the fall, and they have not done a good job in managing the overgrowth, right. The brush. They've done a terrible job of that. A lot of it's, you know, because of the environmentalists, etc. And the other thing they do a terrible job of, California actually gets quite a bit of snowpack, it gets a lot of rain, and it all runs off into the ocean. All of our rivers end up basically running off into the ocean because they don't want to build any dams in California. They haven't built a dam in years, and you know, so a lot of that water just goes to waste as it heads out into the ocean. Now you've got fire hydrants running dry. It looks like the management of the whole thing is totally inept. People are getting evacuation notices that aren't even near the fire. And the people sending out the notices are going, whoops, that was a mistake. They did it yesterday. They did it again today.
Golly.
It's just, you know, inept management and whatever cause. It's that Los Angeles is one of the most beautiful cities in the world, the San Gabriel Mountains and Pasadena and Arcadia and Malibu and all those beautiful Topanga Canyon. I've never seen such a fire during the years I lived there. This is the worst I've ever seen. And, you know, I mean, it comes right down to some of the stocks you own. We own Mercury General, which is a property and casualty and automobile insurance stock, and it has a big exposure to California. That stock broke below its support level just a little bit.
Is that MCY?
MCY.
Right.
And I sold it as a precaution. It broke below its support level. We sold it for a little bit of a profit. I don't know, 7% or something. That stock is getting killed today. I think it's down 29. Let's see. MCY, Mercury General, it's down 17.6% today. That's going to be an insurance nightmare. Imagine all the homes that have to be rebuilt. Think about all of the cars that were lost during this crazy fire. So, you know, right now the damage estimates are up around $135 to $150 making it one of the most expensive natural disasters of all time. And it ain't over yet. More high winds predicted for next week. Okay, how much can Doge really cut from our
bullet?
Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show, where we've got a sell-off in the market because of good news. Yes, good news. The jobs report came in, 265,000, beat expectations, the bond market selling off, interest rates going higher, and the market selling off, the Dow down about 600 points right now. As we've opened up 2025 on a very volatile note. Do we have any inverse funds in place? Yes. Because of the valuation situation, we have PSQ in place, which is inverse the NASDAQ one time. We have that in place in our large dividend portfolio and in the large growth. In the more aggressive portfolios, we have QID in place. That's two times inverse the NASDAQ. So obviously it's soaring today. No, it's not taking away, you know, the losses from big tech, but it is easing it. And I may have to step up my positions there in those. We'll just have to wait and see. I'll be looking at the charts here throughout the day.
A sea of red, and in the middle I see some inverse green, and then Constellation Energy.
Constellation is unbelievable.
Golly.
And then we also in the trading portfolio, I have a couple. Oh no, we also in emerging growth we have EPV and QID.
Right.
EPV is inverse Europe, which is falling apart. I'll tell you what else has fallen off a cliff: the emerging markets, VWO. So you have to ask yourself, if you've got a 401k, if you've got an asset allocation, check and see if you got exposure to the emerging markets, which are basically Asia and Latin America, etc.
Or pure international funds.
Yes, international. I wouldn't own anything outside of the U.S. But, and, you know, where the traditional allocation model calls for it calls for exposure to these areas. And
right.
I don't buy into that. There's a lot more than age factors to take into place. There's world factors to take into place.
Well, in a strong dollar environment, right, is not good for, you know, foreign assets. When you take those stock returns and bring them back, when you take do the currency exchange in terms of if the dollar goes up, that's a headwind for international only funds or emerging market funds. And so if you look at the U.S. dollar since Trump was elected, it's in a pretty solid uptrend.
Well, an America first policy doesn't bode well for
international. Will only strengthen the dollar, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, any tariffs that go in place, you know, that's going to be, you know, a little bit more fuel right behind a strong dollar. So, just not a good place to be, particularly at the moment.
No,
and emerging markets hadn't been a good place to be. You know, you've heard that allocation story for years, right?
Now, there are three or so emerging market inverse funds. There's China specific inverse fund, but the emerging market EUM is one time inverse, and EVV, I believe, is two, EEV is two times inverse, maybe even three, the emerging markets. And then we also do on DXD in our trading incubator portfolio, which is double short the Dow. And that's doing very well today. That's the green. That's the island of green in the midst of red today. And we are believers in hedging. We've also, you know, I've been trying to diversify away quite a bit from, you know, it's been the tech sector, it's been AI and all of that, and I've been lowering my exposure there.
We've had some significant gains there.
Yeah. And I've lowered my exposure because of the valuation of the NASDAQ, which impacts a lot of different things. Now, as I go through the charts, I've got about 600 to look at today. I always note a few that jump off the page at me. USO, that's oil prices. That's a breakout on oil.
And I don't know what the driver of that is. I've got to
there's
dive down.
Some kind of clog in the system somewhere. It's not demand coming from China, I don't
right.
think.
Yeah, I don't think it's demand-driven.
Cold weather might have something. Then the other one is UNG, which is natural gas, having a big jump today. So we do have some exposure. A little bit of exposure to energy, mostly in the incubator trading portfolio, but we do have a little bit of exposure in, I think, in the ultra growth or the emerging growth portfolio also. How much can Doge? They're coming to a realization that, you know what? You take a look at a budget of $6.75 trillion, 5.3 is fixed. That you can't cut because it's Social Security, health care, defense, veterans benefits, and debit and interest payments. That leaves about 1.4. But Musk thinks that maybe they can get a trillion. Hey, I'd take a trillion, right?
And I mean, does that, that's another thing, you know, for today. I'm thinking, you know, obviously we had the good payrolls report, but then when I saw this, right, I'm thinking, okay, well, you know, does that mean that interest rates should be higher for indebted countries? Because, by the way, it's hard to cut that budget, you know? I mean, it's hard to get off the path once you're on it, particularly if things are legislative, you know, are built in already.
A trillion of that budget is the interest payment, okay? A trillion. You can't cut that one because that's the interest you're paying on the debt. And the debt is, and the interest rates are going up. Okay, the big winner today, this came out of nowhere, really. We have been an investor in nuclear. And, you know, the two biggest plays in nuclear are Vistra. These are big, giant utilities. And Constellation Energy, which has been around for a long time. You know, it goes back to Three Mile Island. Constellation Energy is headquartered in Baltimore, Maryland. Constellation's a $91 billion company. It pays a dividend of 0.5%, so we own it in our dividend portfolio. We should
Which
have
makes
probably
it not makes it not your you know your the old utilities that you think of in the past that were you know basically purely yield plays. By the way, so this you know this thing only pays a yield of just under 0.6%, which means they're also reinvesting into the business to grow power.
It's a growth company, too.
Right.
I mean, I look at the growth. They're looking for $8 in earnings this year versus $4.50 last year, $9. Now, adding Calpine is going to make them even more of an energy broker, where they kind of control who gets the energy. It's a kind of a deregulated market there. That will be a good spot for them. It will make them more of a Vistra. And the Constellation is up 21% right now, which is strange because, like Barry said, usually the buyer gets hit. In this case, they are buying a growth company that's going to add to Constellation's growth over the years. It's going to be accretive, in other words. When we come back, news on the beleaguered quantum computing sector.
and I wonder what's good for.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, one of the big controversies on Wednesday was Jensen Huang's comments, who carries a lot of weight, that's for sure, as it relates to future technology. And his comments that quantum computing was 20 years off, at least in the future, just was a knife in the heart of the quantum computing stocks, which had made a big, big run. I mean, a lot of them were up 200, 300%. Well, a few of them are fighting back here today. IonQ. Chairman CEO Peter Chapman issued an update on Friday. He said he expects bookings for the quantum computing company to be at the high end of its forecast. That he forecast revenue could reach $1 billion by 2030. That's 5 years from now. $1 billion by 2030. Let's see how that stock is behaving in a rough market for tech, especially future tech. IonQ is up 8.8%, so that's actually a good sign. Rigetti, which is also in that same space, which got whacked on Wednesday, is up 5.7% today. QBTS is up 9.7% today. So I would just say don't count them out yet. And D-Wave would be the other one. Let's see. D-Wave is D-Wave is up 9.8%.
And I think that's the CEO who kind of came out first and was saying basically we already have some, you know, actually generating revenue. Do you think Jensen after the fact was like, man, sorry guys, I didn't mean to tank your stock. Shoot, like, you know, really? They asked me a question I didn't mean. I don't think he would do it on purpose. It just seemed a little.
I mean, he really clobbered that sector, and you know, others in that area of the market are coming back. D-Wave expects fiscal year bookings to top 23 million. Okay, so they are bringing in. I mean, there's a lot of investment going into this area, and maybe there will be some breakthroughs, and maybe there is some use for it now. I mean, the way these stocks are reacting today, that's what I would think, that you can't just say count them out and say there's not going to be anything coming from them in 20 years. QBTS up, let's see, 9%. There's one other one, QUBT. Is up 3.6%. So they're all bouncing. And they did come back quite a bit from their lows. But like I say, you know, that's why you own it in an incubator part of your portfolio. It's like a 2 or 3% overall position in our most aggressive portfolio out there. We own two of them, okay? Now, here's another one in the news today. MicroVast Holdings. They're trying to come up with solid-state batteries to get around the lithium, to get around a lot of things. And solid-state batteries would give electric vehicles a lot longer range.
And they've been working on it for a while.
Last I heard, Toyota was all in on solid-state, with was Panasonic and a few others. Well, apparently MicroVast has made a big breakthrough through one of the barriers, and that could happen in quantum also. MicroVast is up 40.5% today, MVST, following the company's announcement of a major milestone in the development of its true all-solid-state battery technology. This represents a significant advancement in battery safety, energy density, and efficiency, offering solutions for applications like data center backup, power systems, and electric school buses, while also paving the way for innovations in electric vehicles and robotics. So that's one I put on my watch list. It has been moving, by the way. You know, did I have it? I didn't have it in my database. It's a very small. It was 18 cents 4 months ago. It's in the database now, and I'm sure it will start showing up as an A-plus momentum stock. And we'll put it on our daily watch list, and there may be some opportunities. The thing about Microvast, too, is they have about $300 million in sales right now. So this could be something definitely worth looking at into MVST. Now, this wouldn't go into your retirement dividend income portfolio. Again, this is outside of the spectrum. It's just above venture capital, really, is where I place incubator-type stocks. I mean, it's just above venture capital. To get to being a publicly traded stock is a big step. That's a big step, Barry. You know, a lot of these venture capital stocks never make it to to that stage. They get bought out or they never make it. So at least
it's like a batting average.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a batting, you know, your batting average. And you know, a lot of times, too, it's, you know, sometimes it's just being aware of these stocks, right? There's so many different symbols and names out there. That's what the, you know, kind of the app does in terms of sifting through all the, you know, needles in the haystack some point, right? The cream's going to rise to the top, and that's usually where you see it first on the momentum side.
Exactly. Okay, now, an IPO coming, and this thing is getting a lot of play, Newsmax. You know, I've seen them advertising on during their show where you can get in early and buy private shares now.
Yeah.
Newsmax has upsized its preferred offering to $175 million. They've exceeded the 150 that they were trying to raise. I think Newsmax is a pretty good player. I listen to Newsmax as one of my sources. I get more raw news there than from the others. I think Newsmax could be a significant competitor to Fox. Newsmax obviously leans conservative. The symbol's going to be NMAX, and we'll add it to the app. It's not a public company yet when it goes public. Okay, let's see. There is a biotech in the news today, Precision Bio, which is DTIL. That stock up 22%. It's a gene editing company. A phase 1-2 trial for ornithine transcarbamylase. Try selling that. Try doing a commercial with all of those disclaimers for that.
I'm always glad when you tackle those things.
It's a rare metabolic disorder. Maybe that's what I've got. I don't know. You know how you always think you got something and you're looking it up on Wikipedia? Oh, no, I think I got this. But anyways, DTIL. Now, a stock that's not doing well. Macy's is going to close 66 more stores. How many will be left?
I don't know.
Well, they have 718, so there's your answer. It's now a $4 billion company, and, of course, we know that Nordstrom's recently, it's going private, will no longer be a publicly traded company. And it will basically be owned by Mexican ownership, Liverpool, which is kind of a Nordstrom's of Mexico, bought a big stake or maybe the whole company. Okay, let's see what else we got. Well, we've got some earnings today. Let's begin with Taiwan Semiconductor. It doesn't get much bigger than that. I mean, were it not for Taiwan Semiconductor, they make about 80% of the chips out there. Someone's got to make the chips. So you got to realize that the Qualcomms, the NVIDIAs of the world, design the chips. But it's Taiwan that takes those designs and spits out a product. And also, Taiwan is in a very volatile area of the world that we hear about all the time. And he said it again within the last week. She said, well, it's just a matter of time before we unify China.
I mean, Elon said, you know, has made that point.
He said the same thing.
That's what he said. He's gonna, it's in their charter.
You know, Taiwan Semi had a phenomenal quarter. Their sales were up 41%. Their earnings were up 57%. That's got to bode well for NVIDIA. I would
you
think.
Know, it has to bode well, right, for all of the chip makers, you would imagine. I mean, it's certainly good news. It kind of gives us a quick peek into what the potential will look like.
The strength of AI is still there. It's still the best growth story in the market. There's no question about it. AI is the best growth story in the market.
It's just what's the priced in expectations, right? It's one of those things where they've got very visible good go forward earnings, right? It's the question is, you know, how much are you paying for a dollar of those earnings? And it's that's kind of where the story's at.
Well, TSM is up $1.18 on a day when the Nasdaq is plunging, and the yield on TSM is 1%. We have owned it in the past. I just got a little nervous when China started circling Taiwan with those battleships, you know, and flying over it and all this and that. I just don't want that added risk. But it is a great company. Okay, we'll be right back. We've got some more earnings starting to trickle in here. This is the Best Stocks Now show. You got to go. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. And once again, Taiwan Semiconductor saying that it's the growing demand, AI demand, which Taiwan produces chips for Apple, NVIDIA, AMD. It's a very, very important company. And it also produces chips for Google and Microsoft. So it is the picks and shovels company, along with ASM Lithography, that makes the equipment. But Taiwan is the factory that produces the chips, okay? And that stock is having a very good day in a very weak market today. Walgreens shares rally as turnaround gains traction. Okay, well, you know, look, there is a big industry in our industry, a subsector of the industry, that loves good value turnaround plays, that sees assets that have value. And, you know, there's a Walgreens on every corner, practically. They're well-established across the country. But, you know, then again, I saw all the false starts. Remember Rite Aid, how many times there was a false start. Rite Aid's coming back, and they just kept getting deeper and deeper and deeper into debt. My issue with Walgreens is it's not a growth company anymore. It becomes really an asset play, a value play, where you go in, and that's the old model, Barry, Mr. Chartered Financial Analyst, of looking at the assets, looking at the intrinsic value of the company. That's a whole different discipline.
Yeah, book value approach, yep.
Yes, okay.
Essentially, if you were going to break that thing apart and sell it off piece by piece, what would it be worth?
I mean, do they own any of the real estate, or do they lease everything? There's all kinds of things that come into play. It is the dominant player in that space. The stock is up 25%. I got to believe there was a lot of short interest in Walgreens, thinking that it's going the way of Rite Aid. How many, you know, you pass an old Rite Aid store and it's like a skeleton, right? You can still see the faded.
Some of them are, and some of them will turn into like something for Halloween where they'll sell like some costumes
horrible.
Out of there, and then it goes back to, to empty.
Just horrible. And
Eckerd's, Eckerd's was the other one, right? It was Eckerd's and Rite Aid.
If that's not Walgreens destiny someday, I don't know. It just seemed like with all the online competition they have for the stuff you get there, and
Well, and drug costs, right? I mean, they've been talking about, you know, part of the savings, potential savings at the budget level, right, has been, the cost of drugs. Both sides have talked about that. So,
yeah. You know, there's a lot of winners in the market today, despite a down day. I'm not really seeing that many. The sell-off must be very focused and concentrated in just like the big stocks, the big influentials, the Amazons and the Nvidias of the world. Delta's having a great day. Delta's up 10%, hitting a new all-time high today. Delta is now a $43.6 billion company. We prefer Delta, I don't know, for what it's worth. I've flown American, and I've
kind of have to fly American, but yeah, those pop-up thunderstorms around Charlotte, man, they'll ruin your whole day.
Yeah. And a Delta headquartered in Atlanta, where, you know, just north of Atlanta, not too far, where our chief operations officer, COO, lives. She sent us a picture of pretty good snow on the ground. I'm guessing 6 inches or something like that.
Yeah.
Just north of Atlanta, which is pretty rare, we could get some here today if it starts raining. I don't know if we'll get it or not. That's pretty rare for us. I remember, I think Myrtle Beach and this area got it about 10 years ago. Okay,
yeah,
the
first winter when I first moved here, they didn't know what to do. I think the international airport was shut down for like 4 days.
Yes, and you know, the fishermen, for years, they cried about all the trout, the sea trout lost.
Exactly.
In the river that floated to the surface. They took a big hit. Now, they've come back pretty nicely, but we don't want that to happen again. Okay, the one that's getting clobbered today, Constellation Brands. Man, there was a time when that was a great stock, but I just think that you've got a very diluted market now with all of these private brands and, homegrown brands and the competition. And now they've got to face possible tariffs on their foreign holdings that will be coming into America, like a Corona beer, etc. Constellation is down 12.4% today. That's a big hit. That was one of the great stocks for a long time, but we haven't been in it for years. Very competitive industry. And then the other one that reported earnings or lack thereof, Tilray. Well, I remember a time when the cannabis stocks were all the rage, kind of like the quantum stocks have been here this year. Cannabis was all the rage. Everybody wanted in on the I remember when Tilray was a $300 stock. Now it's $1.21. And I warned people back then. I said, do not get involved in investing in these stocks. And now I see a lot of these cannabis ETFs are shutting down and liquidating. Because the sector has just been absolutely clobbered, absolutely smashed. Well, I'll be working on the newsletter, as always, giving you an update on the valuation situation of the market, the interest rate situation of the market. Believe it or not, I'm seeing a lot of really good charts in the market right now, but I'm seeing sector rotation taking place. Away from kind of the high flyers and the winners. Really, the winners have had 2 years in a row of leading the market, which really makes it ripe for sector rotation. And I'll be pointing that out tomorrow in the newsletter. We've still got the four-week trial going on where you're getting my messages all throughout the day. I've already got a buy lined up here that I'll be sending out here in a little bit. Go to GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. It's unprecedented. I've never offered a four-week trial of, getting the whole enchilada, the newsletter, the alerts, the access to the app. I just can't tell you how much the app guides me on a daily basis. I'm down to just like 300 stocks. We were up to 1,200 a week after Trump was elected. That was way too high. It had to come down. That's a pretty good indicator, pretty good market indicator, too, when the market's overheated. Now I would say the market, there's some opportunity now that we're down to just 250, 300 stocks. That's more normal. If anything, it's oversold here right now. So anyways, if you'd like to set up an appointment with us, GundersonCapital.com. GundersonCapital.com or 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.